Would you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 7? And some of you are thinking, preacher, you forgot the chapter 6. No, I didn't forget. I just don't want to pronounce all the funny names. So if you have nothing better to do this afternoon, try to pronounce all the names. You will be entertained. And some of you might ask, why do we have those names in the Bible? It's not for us. It's for the Jewish people. In the book of Revelation, some of you guys remember this, 144,000 male virgin Jews will be selected from 12,000 from each tribe. At this point, nobody knows their ancestry, the heritage connection. There is not a one single Jew around the world know which tribe he's been born into. This evidence will give them which tribe they belong to. Don't discount it. This is not for the bunch of Gentiles like us. This is for the Jews, for the future. Okay, we will start. Many people around the world, and believers and unbelievers alike, choose to go to a grave with rebellion against the Lord in their heart because they are plain stubborn. Any of you guys are stubborn? And you're thinking, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. The Pharaoh of Egypt, whom we are going to meet, is one of those who had such a stubborn bullhead, and that he drove entire nation to the ground because he chose to fight against God Almighty. In the last chapter, chapters 5 and 6, Pharaoh defiantly told Moses, do you remember what he said? Who is the Lord? Now he is going to start to face the bloody result of his arrogant defiance to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord promised to Abraham, you guys know this because I repeat it many times, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Pharaoh made a major mistake here. He said no to God of Israel and he wanted to do whatever he wants to do. It's not just God is going to punish the Pharaoh and Egypt. It's not just punishing him, but also he is trying to show them who is the one true God. They have many gods in Egypt. And he systematically, God is going to go through the 10 gods of Egypt, 10 major gods of Egypt, and destroy them in their face. And they will learn that their God is nothing but a figment of imagination, but God of Israel is the true God. Are you with me? Let's stop and pray. Father, we worship you because you are one true God. You are living and loving God and righteous and holy God. You are not just doling out your love to us in this without any measure. Father, you give us love and you give us mercy. You give us truth. And most of all, you are holy God. You don't wink at our sins and you don't ignore our unrighteousness. Yes, our sins and unrighteousness are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. At the same time, you want us to live sinless life. Impossible goal, but we can certainly strive with the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach us so that we may not have a hardened heart. Father, let our heart be always soft and tender to you so that you may guide us with your eyes. We may know your heart. We may be attentive to your words that we may honor you with our lives. Father, we are asking you your special anointing and the revelation in our heart, that we may understand your word as you speak, not man. And Father, we pray that your anointing be upon the one who speaks, that he may not speak his own, but yours only. Father, we pray for this COVID situation. There are a lot of deceptions going on, but you are over all those deceptions. You are using this difficult situation according to your providential will, you will glorify yourself. And Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the politicians who are supposed to lead this country, not holding for themselves. Father, your will be done in their lives. We don't know what's ahead of in 2021, but we do know that you're on the throne, you're in charge. You put one person up, you take down another person according to your will. So we lean on to you. And Father, we pray for our troops. 5 soldiers have been killed for the helicopter crash. Father, comfort the family, their friends. And another officer got killed. This is a chaos, and it's nothing more than carnal debaucheries. Father, we are asking you to protect those officers and their families and the firefighters and their families. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 7, please. So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet." I want you to notice the verse 2, first portion of verse 2. "You shall speak all that I command you. And Aaron your brother shall speak to the Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land." Verse 3, I want you to notice this on the line, verse 3, please. "I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And the Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hands on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch my hands on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Then Moses, Aaron, did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, Aaron 83 years old, and when they spoke to Pharaoh. Any of you guys 83 and 80? Okay, they haven't retired yet. So you got your retirement age is pretty much went out the window. God is reminding Moses that when Pharaoh rejected Moses, he was not rejecting a human. He was rejecting God. Are you with me? When you did the witnessing to the other person, evangelizing, and they said no to you, don't take it personally. So, and then you're thinking, well, since he did that, I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah, you should. It's a commandment. At the same time, they are not saying no to you. They are saying no to God. And you are thinking, what is the biblical background for you to say that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Remember them in the book of Acts. When Saul, at that time, he was a great persecutor against the church. Was he not? And he was with the high priest's permission, he was on the way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, to bring them to Jerusalem prison. He was on the way to Damascus, and it was, I believe, on the mountain area. I forgot the name. It's one of those brain fart. And on the mountain area, he got hit by the God. And God literally knocked him off his high horse, flat on his back. And God spoke to him. And when Saul at the time, asked him, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, you are persecuting me. Did you notice the pronoun? Me. Not my people. When enemies of God persecuting churches and persecuting church and his believers, excuse me, they are persecuting against God. Don't take it personally. After I give an invitation and you guys don't answer and then no reply, if I did take that personally, I would be crushed by now. For 20 years, I've been giving an altar call just about every Sunday. There are times I rejoice when the person raised their hand and they said, "I want to receive Christ." And there are times nobody even looking at me is like, "Oh, you guys in La La Land again." It's all right. I don't take it personally. If there was a person who reject Jesus Christ and said, I'm not going to have a Jesus in my heart, that person's heart is one time again calloused, one extra time. It's not against me, it's against that person himself or herself. And from the reading verse 3, it sounds like God is a sadistic person who made the life of Pharaoh difficult and miserable just for the fun of it. He said, God, then I will, God, will harden the Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. God hardened the Pharaoh's heart and when he does wrong, and he punishes him. You know, that's what I thought when I was a baby Christian. You know, I thought, this is not right. God hardened the guy's heart, and when he does wrong, and he whack him. That's cruel. It shows my ignorance, biblically. God was confirming his decision. Are you with me? Allow me to explain a little bit more in detail. It is important to know, in order to properly understand, there are two Hebrew words involved in one word, kashah. And they are both translated into English, hardened. But one Hebrew word implies stubbornness and act of rebellion. That is the word that is used for the behavior of Pharaoh. The other Hebrew word indicates to make firm, like you would put the piece of clay in the fire to harden the clay. And that is Hebrew word employed what God did to Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh stubbornly rebelled against God with his hardened heart. Then God came along, let his own decision stand. God can do this same today. In people's rebellion, they may come to the place where they will no longer consider salvation from Jesus. That is what we call the no turning point. And where the Lord affirmed their decision. One of our grandkids, she's an adult, she said that loving God will not send me to hell. I said, you're right. Loving God will not send you to hell, but you will send yourself to hell with your own decision by hardening your heart. Keep your finger there and go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. In case you come across anyone who says homosexuality is not unbiblical, this is the place you come. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed evermore, forever. Amen. And go down to verse 28, please. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. This is hard, hard truth. People don't want to accept it, so that's why they reject it. Let's go to the verse 8 on chapter 7 in Exodus again, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourself, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So the Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before the Pharaoh, before his servants. It became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, and so the magicians of Egypt. They also did the like manner with their enchantment. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. And Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and the Pharaoh's heart grew harder, and he did not heed him, as the Lord has said. You know, Aaron's rod is a visible symbol of God's authority and over all nature and supernatural. It is not difficult for a Christian to believe that God turned just plain dead branch into the serpent, a living thing. We don't have a problem. But we have a problem. Does it mean that Satan can perform the same kinds of miracle? Yes, he can. And you say, well, I beg to differ. No, go to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, 2 Thessalonians. Sorry, my bad. Nitpicking. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, and then what it say? Signs. It's another word, it's miracles. Signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Stop there, please. Here's a very important point I want to make. Just because you witness, listen carefully, please. Just because you witness miracle, do not consider that as a miracle from God. Are you with me? Always test the spirit, the word says. According to Paul's letter to the Timothy, we get to know the two magicians' name and their mindset. Would you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3? Turn to right, not left. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. No, probably I wrote it wrong. Hold on, let me look. I wrote it wrong and I wrote here wrong. Yeah, verse 7. Start from verse 8, please. Now Jannes and Jambres resist Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of a corrupt mind disapproved concerning the faith, and they will progress no further. For their follies will be manifest to all, and theirs as theirs also was. I don't care what kinds of excuse people come up with for this. But the bottom line is that harden the heart against God because of their own selfish reasons. Here are the few. Number one, people harden their heart against the exclusive way of salvation through Jesus Christ. They don't like that. Especially Reverend Oprah Winfrey. She said, there's many ways to get to heaven. Have you ever heard that? And she tells that to the whole followers. There's many ways to get to heaven. And she thinks that God is jealous and God is pathetic. Because he gets jealous for other people not worshiping him. They realize that if they admit that they need Jesus as a Savior and Lord, they first have to admit that they are sinners. That's why they don't want to have an exclusive way of Jesus Christ. Their pride, their hardened heart gets in the way of their eternal salvation. For the short moment of a pleasure, they are willing to ignore their eternal life. Second situation is people harden their hearts to continue in their sins. Many people have their own pet sins. Do you have a pet sins? Please don't say it. Some of you have a past sins. They range from the gossip, jealousy, outbursts of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, drinking, pornography, gambling, flirting with someone other than their spouse, or flat-out adultery, and more. They rather enjoy their past sins, which gives them carnal pleasure for a short time, while they ignore God's invitation to come to Him with a repentant heart. Hey, Ben, there's a buzzing sound in the back. If you are backslidden, I don't know your spiritual condition. If you are backslidden, take this as a warning. Okay? You need to repent. and come to God. Be right with him by with a repentant heart and contrite spirit. Third, people harden their hearts to ignore the truth of God. People ignore the truth because they want to harden their heart. Many intelligent people put their pride and credential before the truth of God, especially against the creation fact. Even Darwin himself admitted that his evolution theory does not work at the end of his life. Let me put it this way. During dating Earth by the secular scientists is pretty much based on self-assumption. According to the Answer in Genesis website, I did some research, and they said the radioactive potassium-argon dating method has been demonstrated to fail in 1949, 1954, and 1975. Lava flow at the Mount, this is an interesting name. Probably I'm going to butcher it. The spelling is like this, N-G-A-U-R-U-H-O-E. Can anyone come up with it? I checked it. It's in Nauru, Oe. Okay, so just think that that is. It's in from the New Zealand. In spite of a quality test from the laboratory KAR analysis work, and they're coming up with the wrong result. Many people, I'm sure you heard, the Earth is billions of years old, right? Do you know where they get that? According to this test. The test has a false premises. Why do they come up with that? A lot of biblical Christian scientists believe the Earth is only 6,000 years old. They cannot justify it because Great Flood is another good example. Noah's Flood. Guys, if you want to know in depth of this evolution versus the creation thing, go to Answer in Genesis. You will get a whole lot more than I can give it to you. Study. You got to have a firm faith in Jesus Christ, not just faith. You got to have a science backing it up. Just side note. Remember Aaron's rod swallowed the other two serpents? Several serpents. Wonder that rod become, when it turned back into the rod, wonder it become heavier. Think about it. It absorbed several rods into it. Wonder that serpent, while it wasn't serpent, was it belched after it swallowed the other serpents? Inquiring mind want to know, right? Verse 14. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning. When he goes out to the water, you shall stand by the river banks to meet him. And the rod which was turned to the serpent, you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, while now you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand. And they shall be turned to blood. And the fishes that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. An Egyptian will loathe to drink the water of the river. Stop there, please. The main reason for the plague against Egypt was not because of Pharaoh is not letting people, Israeli people go, but rather it is because of his stubborn refusal to recognize and honor the Lord. Listen, the Lord takes our disobedience to him as a rebellion. Do you know that? When we disobey God, he takes it as a rebellion, just as our own children disobey us. If we continue to harden our heart against him, he will do whatever it takes to get our attention, including turning our most precious thing into the pile of rubble and ashes. Why do we try to argue and fight with God when the end result is so obvious? guess who is going to win? Do you think you can win against God? Then why do we fight? Why do we argue with him? Because we are stubborn. Are we not? It is so much easier and better for us to be obedient now than get punished later. Go to verse 19, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the bucket of water and the pitchers of the stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the water that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servant. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. And so there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that? Egyptians believed that Nile River is the main source of richness of their land because it brought the fertilizer and the water. You might have seen this image among some of the Egyptian paintings. It's a god of Nile, also known as Osiris, also known as Hapi. And this is the god, they believe that this is the god that controlled the Nile River. Can you imagine the smell of, have you ever smelled the blood? It's a distinctive smell, right? Can you imagine this entire river, the blood smell? And the water you've been carrying in your thermos turned into blood. And no sushi, because all those dead fish is floating on the top of the water. Think about it, all the smell of blood with the rotting fish smell. Great combination, isn't it? Can you think of the God's strategy and purpose of these 10 plagues, starting with this Nile River turning into blood? Each plague was against the Egyptian deities. Remember Pharaoh's original question, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let the Israel go? Each plague was destroying their gods and letting Pharaoh know that God of Israel is the one true God. Go down to verse 22, please. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard. And he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord struck the river. In other words, these Egyptian magicians turned the what remaining water into blood. You know, if I were Pharaoh, I would fire them. Only a few gallons of water left, and they turned that thing into blood again. Why could not they turn the blood into the water again? Think about it. Have you ever thought about this? Satan can only do the destructive things, not constructive things. He could have magicians turn the water to blood, but they cannot turn blood to water to help people. If you think that if you're not a born again Christian, if you think that Satan will help you, no, he's not helping you. He is dragging you down further to hell. Listen, there are 5 signs that showed we are being stubborn to the Lord. Number 1, we choose to fix the problem on our own instead of asking God's help in prayer. Have you ever done that? When you're kind of short with the money, so you use the credit card and pay 23% interest. Don't look at me like you've never done that before. Second point, Second sign, we are willing to settle for less, the best that God has, than the best that God has for us, because we refuse to trust Him to provide for us. Third sign, we get angry at God when He confronts us with the truth instead of repentance. Fourth sign, we don't want anything to do with God's people. When you try to talk to somebody who is backslidden, who is doing his own thing, and you finally say, okay, I cannot help you anymore, especially if that person is a drug addict, I cannot help you anymore. And what do they say? So much for your Christians. Isn't that a typical answer for them? Fifth point, we even refuse to call upon God when there is no other option available. If you can identify yourself any of these signs, please, this is the time for you to stop and make things right with God, who loves you very much. I have two applications for you. Number one, God takes our disobedience to Him as rebellion. Hebrews 3:15 says, that's our memory verse. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion. Remember what I said. Whenever we argue with God, it only proves that who is right? God is right. Because He is always right, we are wrong. Second point, second application. Our stubbornness in rebellion and hardened heart only makes the relationship with God worse, not better. We start with the true repentance. There's no other way. Let me ask you this question. You answer me yes and no. Do you think God will wink at your sin? Do you think that God will say, well, boys must be boys, girls must be boys, girls. I'll let them pass. Do you think that He will do that? Even though He's a loving God, He will deal with our sins. Right? You might have a hidden sin. Stop, repent, come to God. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.